Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every time a pastor concludes the divine service with Aaron's priestly benediction, it could be for the last time. The day will come, unexpectedly or expectedly, when he will take off his liturgical vestments for the last time. We heard about this today when we joined the little procession of Moses and Aaron and Eleazar up Mount Hor. One can easily imagine or picture Aaron in his splendid high priestly vestments, the stones on his breastplate sparkling in the sun. But once they reached the top of the mountain, Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and placed them on Eleazar. And Aaron died. Only Moses and Eleazar came down the mountain that day, with Eleazar now wearing the stunning high priestly vestments. What does one make of Aaron? He certainly was a man of flawed character. His sinful participation in the worship of the golden calf was utterly disgraceful. Only Moses' intercession for Aaron and the children of Israel saved them from destruction. So what does one make of Aaron? At one point, he joined with his sister Miriam in opposition of Moses, and then he teams up later with Moses and rebels against God. At Kadesh, the people were without water. So God commanded Moses to talk the water out of the rock, speak it out of the rock, but Moses struck it with his staff. But the gracious living water flowed out of the rock anyway. But Moses and Aaron, because they dishonored the Lord God in the presence of the congregation, would not accompany the people into the promised land. What does one make of Aaron? In spite of his flaws, God made him his high priest. He was the one who could go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the sins of God's people. He was one who God talked to like he talked to Moses. He was one who, when the covenant was confirmed, along with Moses and the 70, was taken up the mountain on that incredible day when he and the others saw God, ate and drank with God, and lived to tell about it. Aaron's vocation in life included some amazing things. And it was all about daily being in the very presence of God, at his altar, in the liturgy, at the sacrifices, in prayer, in the word. It just seems strange. How is it possible for somebody who could be in the presence of God like he was to then be involved in such crass syncretism as the golden calf? How is it possible that he could publicly disgrace God, dishonor God in the presence of the congregation at Kadesh? Well, who knows? Except that maybe no priest, no pastor is immune from temptation. We all need our Moses at sometimes to intercede for us, if not our mother. We all need a father confessor. This was brought home to me very recently in a letter from a pastor. He writes, "And now for some sad news. We have a vacancy in our district. It was sudden. The pastor was arrested. He was caught with a prostitute. Very sad. When he was arrested, he called me to ask me to talk to his wife. I asked if he had a father confessor. He said no. Again, we have a pastor getting into trouble because he did not exercise the gift of a father confessor. He thought he could handle his temptation on his own. Very sad. I told him to find a father confessor immediately, and then I had to go and tell his wife. My plea as a parish pastor to you and the seminary is to continue to instill the great need in all young pastors to seek a father confessor as the first thing they do after being installed at their first call. The challenges and temptations which confront a pastor are too great for us to think we can resist and control them alone. Our Lord gives us the gift of a father confessor. Only arrogance and pride prevents us from exercising such a divine gift. My comfort is knowing that he has now received holy absolution and the sacrament of Christ's body and blood are given to bring healing to the pastor, his family, his congregation, and the district. It's a dreadful thing for a pastor to publicly dishonor God. The details of Aaron's participation in the incident with the rock are sketchy, but the point is clear. His lack of trust in God's word resulted in the dishonoring of God and in his death on Mount Hor and his premature removal from the office of the priesthood. It's a sad story, but not a story without mercy and grace, because the Lord gave Moses to Aaron, and Moses stayed with Aaron right up to the end to commend him to the Lord before he died. Yes, it's a sad story, but not a story without mercy and grace. The very rock from which Israel, Moses, and Aaron drank was Christ himself. That's what Paul tells us. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So a man went up the mountain and was stripped of his garments, and they were given to another, and the man died. He died for Aaron, and he died for you, and then he rose again. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.